This information is subject to a disclaimer at the end of this podcast. Please ensure that you listen to the disclaimer and go to www.ubs.com for further information about UBS.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning into UBS's Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's markets. UBS has had a below-market consensus call on inflation in the US, in Europe, and also in emerging markets. For the most part, that call has played out quite well. Inflation breakevens have come lower significantly in the US, also in Europe. But now we're approaching that famous last mile, and in fact, some of the recent prints of inflation, most notably in the US, have been slightly higher than expected. Is inflation progress going to stall? Can we actually see slightly higher inflation? What does it mean for central bank policy, and what does it mean for the economy? Today, we're going to be speaking with Alan Detmeister, a senior US economist on US inflation. So let's get into US inflation details today with Alan. So as the first question, let me just start with a fairly broad one. Do you think inflation has shifted structurally higher? Do you think that there is a break in trend from where inflation is likely to be in the future to where inflation was pre-COVID?
Well, at least over the next year, we've got some downward pushes from improving supply conditions, particularly for vehicles, and downward pressures from rent increases. But for the longer run, like you're suggesting, there are some upward pressures on inflation that are structurally pushing things higher. The main ones being any sort of climate change mitigation, decarbonization, and some friendshoring or deglobalization. Those are likely to be structural upward shifts on the order of a half percentage point on inflation, given the same level of economic tightness. Over the long run, that half percentage point's not huge. It's within the Fed's ability to control inflation if they're willing to keep interest rates a little bit higher than they were prior to the pandemic and hold growth a little bit lower. Remember that pre-pandemic, we were seeing inflation running, you know, a little below the Fed's target. So a little bit of upward pressure on from the structural shifts, but not huge.
Okay, great. Let's talk about the here and now then, where inflation is going here. The last print of inflation was higher than consensus, higher than your expectations. Where do you think inflation is headed from here? Was that just an aberration, or are you worried about some parts of inflation being persistent?
My base case is that most of that's an aberration. It's early in the year. We often see January and sometimes February numbers come in a little bit on the hot side, even in the seasonally adjusted data. This residual seasonality has been known for something like 20 years. Doesn't happen every year, but that could just be what we got this time. Also, this was only one report. Even though we had a strong number this time in the January data, it doesn't change the overall trajectory. Inflation is still coming down. We've got very strong base effects for at least the next number of months through the May data that comes out in June, that the 12-month changes are still going to be moving down. So while this was a hot print, while I'm worried that it could be more persistent, it's a little too early to really know or to be very worried about it.
One component that surprised really on the upside this time was OER, right? So could you just go into some detail on what you expect OER to do in the next 3-6 months? And I assume you're going to say that the numbers will come off because apartment list and Zillow and many of these numbers are telling us that they'll move in that direction, and this is stuff we can forecast quite well. If housing market is tight, however, if the supply of housing is limited and the price of houses is high, does that not eventually lead to higher rents and higher inflation?
Yeah. As you mentioned, you're right. The new lease indexes, whether it's Apartment List, CoreLogic, Yardi Matrix, Zillow, others, those have been running at or slightly below their pre-pandemic pace for now 15 months. Most of the excess increase that we saw on those numbers over 2021 and 2022 in the new list indexes has been reduced. So we should be seeing more downward pressure on CPI rents, which have been notably above those new lease indexes for, you know, at least the last year. That said, you know, if we do continue to see a very strong housing market, we'll eventually start to see those new lease indexes moving up again, and then that putting upward pressure on the CPI measures of rents. But the lags from those new lease indexes into the CPI rent indexes seems to be a year, maybe slightly longer.
How do we feel about the labor market, Alan? I mean, right now we have Atlanta Fed at 5%. There are some other measures of wages which are suggesting that the labor market remains reasonably hot, both in terms of wages and also in terms of actual employment. Is that a material upward risk to your inflation forecast? Or do you think, based on sort of limited Phillips curve elasticity between wages and CPI, it doesn't really matter that much?
Well, a strong labor market is certainly a risk. So the very limited pass-through from wages to prices we see is usually conditional on the unemployment rate. And we don't tend to see much pass-through in the U.S. from wages to prices once you take account of those broader economic conditions through unemployment or GDP growth or something like that. They tend to move those wages and prices very contemporaneously together rather than wages leading prices. The better measure, if you're looking for kind of wage price pressures, is the employment cost index. It was designed as a, you know, employer's cost for an hour of labor. In that one, we are seeing wage growth continuing to slow very, very gradually. The most recent number was actually a fair slowing, not that much above the level that's consistent with 2% inflation. But over kind of say the last year or so, you're still talking even the employment cost index is a percentage point, a half a percentage point to maybe 0.75 percentage point higher than what's consistent with 2% inflation. But it is continuing to gradually slow. So we're not seeing what looks like a big concern in wages, but a hot labor market, no more slowing in wages, is a upside risk to the forecast.
So just very quickly, what ECI is consistent with 2% inflation?
Yeah, so we've been seeing productivity growth kind of on the order of, you know, 1 to 1.5%. The longer run trend is closer to 1.5%. So that would say an ECI somewhere around 3.5, maybe just a little bit below that, is consistent with 2% price inflation.
Are you seeing any signs of productivity pick up? I mean, do you think that there is a case to be made that we could be in a sort of a 1990s world where you could actually get an ECI of 4.5 to 5 if productivity is rising, that would still be consistent with 2% inflation?
There's certainly that possibility. Over the last few quarters, we've seen stronger productivity growth, but that really went from below trend productivity growth back up to trend. We're not really that different from that kind of longer run trend. There's been some movements around that. That said, a tight labor market, in theory, should, and high wage growth, should incentivize employers to make their existing workforce more productive. It's hard to say from the current empirical evidence if we really are seeing much of a pickup in structural productivity.
Okay. Alan, could you just walk us through some of the main components of inflation? We won't go that much into food and energy, but within sort of the core parts, core goods, and within core services, if you could just walk through what the main items to watch out for are. What do you think of medical services? What do you think of transportation, education, and communication? What are the trends out here? And are you seeing any signs that a tight labor market is having an impact on these, especially core services, ex-housing?
Yeah, so where you're likely to see that tight labor market is have its biggest impact on the core services, excluding rents. There we are seeing numbers that are still very, very strong. Medical services in CPI are increasing very rapidly, though a big part of that is lagged medical insurance prices that have a very, very strong 1 year, even longer than 1 year lag in the CPI. In PCE medical services, which are quite different and probably more important to the Fed, we're not seeing big upward movements, a little bit compared to last year where we had some upward pushes from COVID reimbursement rates that were being pulled off last year that aren't there this year. Goods prices, I tend to break into transportation goods and non-transportation goods. Transportation goods right now are likely to be a downward pressure on inflation as we're seeing rising inventory levels for motor vehicles. And that's starting to see a reestablishing of competition, lower profit margins at retailers. On the non-transportation goods, what we're seeing there is still a little bit of downward pressure from improving supply conditions, but less improvement than what we saw, say, 9 months ago on there. We're also seeing some upward pressure from transportation costs on those. But over the longer run, we've been seeing import prices that have been moving more or less along their trend prior to the pandemic. Finally, kind of on some of the other services, well, we already talked about rents and how those are likely to be a downward pressure on inflation. And some of the other services, the transportation and services, education, communications, recreational services, household domestic services, et cetera. Those, in theory, are the most wage-linked services. And so as long as the labor market stays tight, we'll likely see upward pressure on those services. That said, we have seen them slowing quite a bit over the last year, consistent with, you know, the slowing that we've started to see in some of these wage measures. So, you know, at this point, still, particularly on the services side, some still very strong numbers, but it is consistent with this very gradual slowdown of inflation on the services side that we've been seeing for a while.
If we do get inflation coming lower, even if the labor market remains tight, as you said, if the economy does well, inflation can still come off. Is the Fed, despite a tight labor market, able to cut rates as early as May as we think it will?
Yeah, so I mean, their target is a 2% inflation rate. By May, we're expecting to see that they will have in hand data suggesting that core PCE inflation over 12 months is about down to, you know, 2.4%, 2.5% level. 80%, more than 80%, 85% of the way back down to the 2% inflation target from the peak that we saw. Yet the Fed is still at its peak interest rate level. If the Fed really wanted to get started before inflation hits 2%, worried about the lags from monetary policy, as Powell has noted before, they should be starting to cut in that May meeting, even though inflation is still a little bit above their target. How fast do they cut? If it's inflation only, they could move very, very slowly, say, you know, a couple 25 basis point cuts and then 25 basis points every other meeting if the economy stays strong. That is the perfect recipe for them. Something like the late 90s, where you're seeing strong productivity growth, you can cut rates just a little bit as inflation is very low. I think they'd be very happy with that and try to sustain that as an ongoing phenomenon with low inflation, but a very strong economy.
Why do we think the U.S. consumer will slow?
Yeah, so in 2023, consumer spending was importantly boosted by spending down the excess saving, by increasing leverage on credit card balances. Those sources of support to consumer spending are going to be substantially less this year. Roughly three quarters of that excess saving that remained at the beginning of 2023 was spent in the year 2023. So you don't have that for this year. Banks' willingness to lend to consumers is at levels we haven't seen in the past 55 years outside of a recession or immediately before a recession. So consumers' ability to fund spending by continuing to spend on those credit card balances and leveraging up is going to be significantly constrained. Additionally, demands on consumers' funds have increased. Interest payments as a share of disposable income are up roughly 1 percentage point compared to a year or so ago. Student loan repayments had to start again in October. That's income payments as principal payments. So even with rising wages, we think that the consumer's just not going to be there this year the way it was last year.
All right, Alan, let me try and summarize your views. On long-term inflation, you think numbers may have shifted up by roughly 50 basis points because of factors like climate change, because of factors like deglobalization, but this is nothing that central banks can't bring back down. So maybe we get a slightly higher level of rate for the same level of growth as we used to. So maybe R star has gone up smalls, but this is nothing central banks can't tackle. You do think that inflation will continue to come down through the course of 2024. So the last CPI print you thought was an aberration, not sort of the beginning of a rise in inflation. So Q4 on Q4, as of now, we're still looking for 1.8% on core PCE. You don't buy that the increase in OER is something that we need to worry about over the next 6, 9, potentially 12 months. We may need to worry about this if the housing market remains strong. We may need to worry about that further out. You are worried about the labor market. The labor market is quite tight. ECI is just a little bit hotter than you'd like to see for it to be consistent with 2% inflation. Taking a neutral view on productivity, you're not saying that productivity has leapt much higher. If it does indeed go higher, then we could accommodate higher ECI. But as of now, taking a neutral view of taking sort of the trend view of productivity, 3.5% ECI is what you'd like to see. But as of now, the market remains reasonably high. One interesting point you made through this interview was that even if we don't see a US recession, you do think the inflation call for the next 6 to 12 months is broadly intact. So the decline in inflation is not going to come all from a recession. It's going to come through other factors like OER coming down, like used car prices coming down. So the bulk of the inflation decline will still be in place. And that might lead the Fed to cut rates in a sort of an insurance fashion. You could still get the Fed going in Q2 purely on where real rates are, i.e. where inflation is, because real rates are quite high. So hopefully that's a reasonable summary of your views, Alan.
Yes, I think so. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much for your time, Alan. And thank you for yours.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries, and or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation, nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content. It has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. Copyright UBS 2024. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.